Wonderful. So you heard in the finance and then you saw on the balance sheet. So we are carrying a loan right now, but we are very, very thankful. One of our board members was able to, just through their contacts, we were able to get a loan at a COVID reduced rate. So it is less than half of the percentage of what goes out to the market. So that is very, very helpful. The long-term portion is 3.7. Part of what we owe, the 4.7, is in because we owe it this year in current liabilities. So just so you know, it is manageable, but we do want to clear that off. And the finances here at church, they tell a story. They tell a story of God's faithfulness and of your generosity. And we thank you for it. We'll continue to give, and we'll continue to supply and equip these buildings with, as our chair said, with wonderful, wonderful equipment that will help us minister. We do want to make mention, we've had a couple of questions. On the model in front of the next-gen two-story building, there's a ramp for people that would be using a wheelchair, and you may see that there's not a ramp. So that was not a mistake or an omission, but we replaced the ramp with a hydraulic lift from Italy, and it's really cool and fancy. But a person or someone in a wheelchair can go up, and it's very, very secure. And we did that mainly because we saved over 500,000 kwacha by doing that. That's the main reason. Secondary reason is that the ramp was just this huge monstrosity in front of the building that took up a lot of space, so it seemed like a better solution as we were building. So just so you know, that wasn't a mistake. All right? So those of you who are participating online, so glad that you are with us. Why don't you go ahead and turn in your Bible today to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about what the Bible teaches, what happens to people, Christians, non-Christians, after we die. A lot of people nowadays just think we die like a plant or we die like a chicken. That is, we just cease. There's nothing that happens. Every single man-made world religion that was crafted by human minds, I believe some were actually probably crafted by demons, all of them have to say something about what happens after you die, where you go, what it's like, and how do you get there? How do you get there? It's not true. The Bible doesn't say anything about it, but I think probably some of us that are over the age of 50, reincarnation kind of sounds nice in that you get another round at life. I can come back and try this again. But the Bible is very, very clear. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, God makes a decision. Judgment. Okay? So we need to plan for this life, for our kids, and for what is life going to look like at the end of our life when maybe we're not working. Can we be sustained? It's good to plan for this life. It's more important to plan for the life to come, the life after we die. So the Bible is really, really clear. There are only two options. There is heaven and there is hell. There is not option C. And there is not option none of the above. It's heaven or hell. And there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And last week we looked at what the Bible speaks about hell, who goes there, what it's like, and then how does that affect our life? And I've heard some wonderful feedback of people who have been witnessing to workers or people that they know, that they realize that it's up to me to present the gospel to people who are outside of Jesus Christ because I don't want to see them spend an eternity with hell, in hell, all right? So let's talk about heaven today. Those of us who are in God's family, this is our future. The Bible calls it our blessed hope, all right? So who goes to heaven? Who goes there, all right? You're there in Ephesians chapter 2, and this passage is going to tell us that the people who go to heaven are those who are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Saved by God's grace, so he does it, but then our participation is that we trust him, that we have faith, or people call it saving faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places, that in the ages to come, all right, that's not today, but in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So those who are going to be shown the riches of God's grace are those who are in Christ Jesus. Not nice people, benevolent people, kind people, generous people, law-abiding citizens. None of that matters as far as being saved. We are saved by God's grace. And folks, that is why we are in what's called a Protestant church today. Because Martin Luther was reading the Bible in Romans chapter 1 and realized that salvation does not come through church ordinances. It does not come by adhering to certain rules or regulations. It comes by Jesus Christ alone and faith in him alone. Nothing can be added to that. And thank God for that revelation that is now has built the Church of Jesus all across the world. All right? So, God's path for our salvation, all right, is about the work of Jesus Christ and our faith in Jesus Christ. Full stop. That's it. All right? The Bible talks about our name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is what causes our name to be written. All right? So those who are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus alone. Secondly, who goes to heaven? Revelation 14, 13. This talks about those who are in the Lord. So it seems to be a position, all right? A proximity, those in the Lord. So Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Everybody say, blessed. Now, when we lose a loved one in the Lord, and when we lose someone close to us, we're not blessed, are we? And the Bible makes that clear. It's not for our advantage. But for them, they are blessed. You know, they do not shed a tear at their own funeral. Everyone is sad except them. Blessed are the dead who die, how? In the Lord. That's the Lord Jesus. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. All right, so heaven is not for, again, good, kind people. It is for blood-washed people. It is for those in the Lord. So what is heaven like? There have been movies, people that don't necessarily subscribe to the Bible, but heaven is, you know, it's like a very colorful garden, and everything is neat and tidy, and there's nice music, and the air is fresh. Old paintings would maybe depict us kind of like fat, chubby angels flying around with wings, and we have harps. And I remember as a kid, I'm thinking, I want to go to heaven, but how long can you play a harp, right? I mean, what is heaven like? And while I believe that you and I are going to be shocked, for sure, the Bible absolutely gives us an indication. And that indication is to help us here to know where we are going, all right? So the Bible tells us what life in heaven will be like. So One aspect of heaven is that there is complete joy and happiness. Complete joy and happiness. There is no sorrow. There's nothing that would make us be sorrowful. There's no pain. There's no lack. There are no problems. All right? Thomas More says this, great quote, "Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal." It's different there. It's different there. There's nothing there to make you sad. There's nothing that goes wrong. Because even here on the earth, sometimes when things are going very well and you're rejoicing, there are 10 people mad at you because things are going well. See, that's all of that drama stops in heaven. Look at Revelation 7. Revelation 7. Start reading in verse 15. So the whole entire book of Revelation is John giving this supernatural revelation. A lot of it was messages. There were 7 letters to churches in Asia Minor. And then he saw things. He saw things. A lot of, he saw about heaven and he saw about the time to come, the end of the age. Revelation 7:15. "They are before the throne of God and serve him night and day in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again," look at verse 16, "never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat." So the problems of this earth are gone. They are finished. They are no longer there in heaven. Why? Verse 17, "For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye." See, none of the sorrows of earth are in heaven, because the source of sorrow is gone. Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the deceiver, is gone. He is thrown into the lake of fire. He never comes back. He is never a problem. So he is gone. His demons are gone. And then those in his family, sinners and Christians who sin, are not in heaven. Right? You and I are changed. And so there's no Satan. There is no sin in heaven. So there's just never anything that's wrong. Can you imagine? Never a pothole again. There are no prayer requests. There's no lack. It's heaven. No hunger, no thirst. Okay? None of the issues that are here. Revelation 21, verse 4, we'll see it again, but gives this summary statement: "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, or pain." All these things are gone forever. You know, in this life, it seems like sometimes they're gone for a season, isn't it? But they come back, and we face them again. All right? So heaven, there's complete joy and happiness. And the main reason is because God is there and we are with him. God is there and we are with him. All right? And this really is the singular reason why heaven is heavenly, is because God's there and we're there with him. We are finally home. In the book of John, you can turn to John 13. Jesus, and this was not the only time, but he told his disciples, "I'm not going to be with you forever, physically. And I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, someone just like me," because he's God. "He is going to be with you and in you forever." He'll never leave you. All right. John 13, 33. "Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come." Meaning, And we know the end of the story. When Jesus was ascended to the Father and he went into heaven in the clouds, the disciples remained on the earth, didn't they? So they did not go with him at that time. All right, skip down to verse 36 there. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." I'm going ahead of you. There's a big, big work to be done. And the church of Jesus is going to be inaugurated on the earth. And so I need you to stay on the earth for a time, and then you'll join me. And then Jesus explains this in John 14, verse 1. "Let not your hearts be troubled." Do you know that if your heart's troubled, it's because you've allowed it to be? All right, it can be untroubled. And this is a great way for it to be untroubled. "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. That if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I don't know if any of you have family where there is great distance, maybe in another part of the country or another part of the world. But when you see them, you really don't have to do anything. You just want to be with them. We pick up a fair number of people at the airport, and I love to see people welcoming their family. It's awesome, and you can tell some of this, it's been a while. And there is crying and hugging and shouting and screaming, all right? And it's just a few years, but Jesus is going to come and take us and bring us to his house. And there's a place for us there. I love that Hillsong song. "In my Father's house, there's a place for me. There's a place for me in my Father's house." All right. So the promise of Jesus is real. All right. Now, let's go back to Revelation 21. And so what Jesus promised, John saw. He saw this. Revelation 21, verse 1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." All right. The new heaven, new earth. "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God.'" Verse 3 is not the first time in the Bible that we see this concept. It's everywhere. It's in the Garden of Eden. It is the tabernacle that God says, "Build a tent because I want to dwell. I want to be with my people." And they positioned the tent, God said, where he wanted it to be. He didn't want it on a mountain where you had to go climb and to get to be with God. He wanted it right in the middle of their camp, and everybody had their homes and their tents around the presence of God. Now, in the church age, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't live in a building made by human hands. He's not. When you and I leave and when this building is empty tonight, God is not here. He's at your house. All right. So God and man together, and obviously you and I, we experience that, you could say, by faith. We trust that the Holy Spirit indwells us. But now all of this is real. Now God and man are together forever. Verse 4, "He'll wipe away every tear from their eye." We read that. Verse 5, "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" This is not a fable. This is not just a way for us to get through the hard life because, well, there's a heaven at the end. No, this is true. "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment.'" You never pay for water again. How many of you are old enough to think, me growing up, who would ever in their lifetime pay for water? Right? Well, now we do, but not there. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. There it is again. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So, everyone who is sinful is not there. But if we read that description, you and I as Christians are thinking, Pastor, I'm in trouble. I've made the list. Right? So there's some specific things, and I think that's why he says at the end, and all liars. That kind of catches everyone else, doesn't it? Wait a second, but they're liars go to hell. All right? But see, something happened to us in order for us to be as a liar or as an idolater or as a sorcerer or as a sexually immoral person. What happened that allowed us access into heaven? Anidoba, Anisuka. He washed us. We're not dirty any longer. We're in white robes. We are the redeemed. We have access to heaven. Not because we were good. Not because we were religious. Not because we prayed seven times a day. It's because we bowed our knee to King Jesus. And he washed us and he cleansed us. And he adopted us into his family. That's why we're there. Hallelujah. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let me tell you, that did not happen by accident. It did not happen when you were 3 months old and somebody put water on your head and baptized you as a baby. That did not cleanse you. It made you wet. It did nothing to you spiritually. Please do not believe you are saved because you were baptized in a church as a baby. You are lost without Jesus. Well, I was confirmed. I'm a church member. It doesn't matter. Are you washed in the blood of Jesus? Have you made Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior? Because guess what, friends? You would know if it happened to you. You would know it if it happened to you. Hallelujah. But the unwashed, the unredeemed, they are somewhere else. Revelation 22, let's keep reading here. And I saw, verse 22, and I saw the temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city had no need of sun or moon or Zesco to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Hallelujah. By its light the nations walk, and the kings of the earth bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. I don't know if we sleep or not. I don't know. I think we don't. Some of you are bummed. Okay. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, if we go elsewhere in the Bible, the Bema Seat judgment, when the nations come and the lost are judged by Jesus, it says if their name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, then God judges them by their works. And their works will be sorely lacking because they don't judge their works compared to Oprah or a kind person. God judges the works of people against the unspeakable light and righteousness of Jesus Christ. And everyone will be found lacking if their name is not written. Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter the city by the gates. Outside. Everybody say outside. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Now, while that is sad, very sad for the sinner and the lost and the religious, what that means, though, is that God reserves heaven for people who want to be there. People who bow their knee to Jesus willingly on this earth. All right? Now, the other thing that's so wonderful, and I do realize that, you know, when someone dies in the Lord, and it's so wonderfully comforting to know that, and we say this, but it really, really is true. We will see them again. We'll see them again. All right? There's a time. And that time is it's sad, and it could be painful, depending on how wonderful they were, right? And how much they meant to us. But we will see them again. But we will see a different version of them, and you will be a different version of yourself. All right, now, the Bible tells us that in heaven we are recognizable. Okay, so I don't know if you need to lose 20 kgs, if that just happens, you know. I don't know, right? Or those that need to gain 20 kgs, we'll get it up there. But so we'll recognize one another, but there's something amazing about heaven and the people who are there, all right? And that is, we are all glorified. And glorified doesn't mean, you know, that we kind of like shine and we give off a nice smell, okay? Glorified means that we have the actual character of Jesus. All right, look at 1 John, the epistle, John's first epistle, 1 John 3. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him. So when Jesus appears, when we receive our glorified body, all right, we will be like him. For we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. Romans 8 puts it this way. There's a kind of a chain of things that God does. And whom he justifies, he glorifies. All right. Now, there is sanctification on this earth. This gradual process of being like Jesus is a wonderful part of that process. And no matter how far you get in this life, it's all going to get topped up on the other side. And I don't know about you, but there are folks, Christians, good people, but you know, I don't live near them anymore. And when we did live near each other, everything didn't really work out. There were some disagreements that went to the end of Matthew 18, right, where there wasn't reconciliation. But what a joy it will be to know them in heaven, because they'll be like Jesus. Some of your loved ones who are saved, they passed away, but you're not going to see the same person. They're going to be like Jesus. Only glorified, wonderful, what incredible relationships we will have in heaven. No sin, no mistrust, no wondering, what is my wife and Jesus' mother Mary, what are they talking about over there? Are they talking about me? I quoted from Romans, and the Apostle Paul didn't even like my heavenly Facebook. And see, all of that's gone. It's gone. It's finished. Glorified people forever. All right, so how do we apply this? Okay, so these are Bible truths. We could just keep going on and on and on. But how do we live in this reality? So I want to look at four areas where we can apply this. Four application points. Number one, you and I must grieve with hope. Grieve with hope. 1 Thessalonians says that those who have died in the Lord, that we should not be as those who grieve without hope. And it's a very sad thing to watch people grieve without hope. I must say, it's a gut-wrenching experience. But you and I grieve differently. We grieve with hope. Hope that Philippians chapter 2 is right, that Paul said, you know, I'm kind of torn between staying here with you, Philippians, because if I stay, it'll be more fruit from my labor. It'll be a benefit to you. But if I go and be with Jesus, it will be far better. Not slightly better, right? If you've ever moved neighborhoods or houses, it's slightly better, right? No, it is far better. So I grieve with hope the person who dies in the Lord, because where they are, it's not a better place. It's a far better place. And they are with Jesus, and I will see them again. And so death for the Christian is not the end of the book. It's not the end of the story. It's not the end of their story, and it's not the end of my story with them. All right, there's another chapter yet to be written. So we grieve with hope. Number two, another way that we can apply this is that heaven is our hope and heaven is our future. Meaning that the ending of the story is not here. The ending of the story is not here. It's like watching one of the, 65 Avenger movies before the last Avenger movie, right? You always know, oh, it's not ending yet. There's another movie, there's another, and you got to stay after the credits. See, when we die, when someone dies, it's not the end. It's not the end. And so many people feel that it is, but it's not. And I know we put on a tombstone, we have the date we came to the earth, the date we left the earth, and there's a dash, but it seems like that our life is contained in those two numbers. No. Not for the believer. That's just the time we were here. It's like if you go to a border post and they see and they count the number of days you were here or gone or something like that. That's all that is. All right? We have a home with Jesus. And this life, you could say, is the introduction. And this life makes a big difference about what happens in the next life. All right, number three, we are citizens, the Bible says. Citizens of where? Of what? Of heaven. Citizens of heaven. So if I believe in heaven, I'm born from above. I have God DNA. I am his likeness. And I'm going to be with my Father. I'm going to be with God forever. So that means my allegiance is to my heavenly citizenship. Now, it just so happens, everybody on planet Earth also gets born into an earthly kingdom or an earthly nation. And now you can switch your earthly citizenship, can't you? Right, you can even have two if you want. Some can, some can't, right? But that means that my heavenly citizenship is way more important than any earthly allegiance. Allegiance to my country, allegiance to my family, I have an allegiance to heaven. I am a citizen of heaven. All right? And so that also means that I see people here differently. All right? I would hope that in the run-up to the election, if there's a Christian that wears different colored chitenge from you, or maybe they don't wear it at all, okay, I hope that doesn't affect how you see them or treat them. Because how many of you know colors come and go, don't they? They really, really do, okay? So the Bible says that also that you and I are an ambassador of heaven. So whose values do we represent? We represent the kingdom of heaven. And so we need to be very acclimated and understand what the kingdom of God is like and what how God thinks, because his kingdom is not of this world. It's not of this world. Amen? All right. So Colossians 3 says, we set our mind above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And then that, Colossians 3, then that means if I set my mind above, that means I'm a different kind of husband. Colossians 3 explained, I'm a different kind of wife. I raise my kids in a heavenly way. I do my money in a heavenly way because my mind is there. And then lastly, number four, if heaven is real, and it is, then that means you and I live for heavenly rewards, not earthly accolades. Heavenly rewards, not earthly accolades. The Bible says that we're admitted to heaven, we're admitted to the presence of God because of our faith in Jesus, because of God's regeneration work that he's done in us. But as a Christian, so we're already in heaven, but then all the stuff that we've done, all of our works are tried by fire. And there may be things that we did that was wood and stubble and hay, the Bible says. And so when it goes through the fire, there's nothing to be seen. There's nothing that will pass that test. But what is gold and silver and precious stones will remain. And so what we do in the name of Jesus and what we do through the power of the Holy Spirit, those things that there is an accommodation by God Almighty of what we have done on the earth. But how many of you know, see, that doesn't happen next week. It doesn't happen next week. So a lot of people live their whole life now to be praised of men. For people to say, well done. For people to praise them. And it's really, really sad that many of those works are wood, hay, and stubble. So they got a trophy down here, but it didn't make it to heaven. People praised them here, but God says, so what? In heaven. What a sad existence for a Christian to live their life to be praised by men here. What a sad, sad existence. All right? God wants us to have a healthy and a sustainable life here, all right? We run our race with the heavenly crowd that is cheering us on, all right? And there might be people down here that are, you could say, they're also cheering with heaven's perspective, but many times they don't. You may have heard this story. I've said a number of times, but an elderly couple lived their whole life in the nation of India as missionaries. And it was the work that they did was tough and the fruit was slow, but they laid it all on the line for Jesus. And now there were no planes at this time. They got on a boat and they were coming back to America to live the few remaining years of their life that they had left. And on the boat that they had booked, they didn't know, but Teddy Roosevelt, President of the United States, was on the boat. And so they got into the harbor at New York City, and there were crowds and cheers and confetti, and he's such a great guy. And of course, he went first, and they were waiting, and everything they owned was in a small, couple small suitcases. And they walked off the boat. All the crowds were gone. No one was there to greet them. No one was there to welcome them. No one was there to say, well done. And so they walked to the little place where they were staying, and they put their things down, and they began to weep. And they began to complain to God, to say, God, over 40 years we gave and served you and gave to people that you love. And we come home and no one is cheering. No one is welcoming. And yet we come home. And a small voice of the Holy Spirit said inside of them, you're not home yet. This earth is not our home. We are not living for people to give us a thumbs up down here. So sad, so sad. And I can understand if non-Christians live that way, because that's really all they have to live for. But Christians, believers in Jesus, come on. Let's live a different way. Let's live for the praise of one person, the accommodation of one person. Then the other thing, I believe, life. A sober life. And that's more than just Johnny Walker. Red, black, green, label, whatever. It's more than that. It's free from intoxicants. Some of you are drunk on your family. Some of you are drunk on some form of pleasure that might not be technically sinful, but it's like an idol for you, and it gives you something. Some of you are drunk on entertainment. Put the bottle down. Live with a clear mind. Live with a clear heart. Amen. Be sober. Be watchful in this age that we live in. And don't let stuff cloud your heart and cloud your mind. Amen. Because we are citizens of heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word points us to something more than where we live and what is sometimes what feels like just almost the mundane stuff of life. But Father, may our hearts be lifted to heaven. May we realize that that is our citizenship. We are ambassadors here from another place. And Jesus, where you are, we are going also. Father, thank you for this hope. And Father, you said in your word, everybody who has this hope purifies themselves. Lord, it makes us live in a different way. So Father, I just ask for all of us, God, all of us, may we live for heaven. May we live for heaven. God, I pray for single men and single women, God. Maybe some who are dating. Maybe some who are engaged. May heaven change their marital ideas. Father, those who are in work, Lord, may heaven change the way we do things, God. Father, for Christians that might be here that, Lord, their work actually is sinful and it participates in the kingdom of Satan, Lord, may they quit tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, Father, may they quit. May they write the email today and quit tomorrow. May they never help an abortion take place. May they never work where there is prostitution. May they cease because they are from another world with another set of values, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, may this affect how we think of what we're going to do at the end of our life. I've worked hard. Now it's me time. I'm going to have fun and I'm going to relax. Lord, may we work while it is day. While we have breath, may we be about our Father's business. Father, I ask you to brand heaven and hell on the heart of every believer in this place in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody's looking around. I want to literally ask you that question of the song that we sang. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? It's referring to the Passover where a lamb was killed and then the blood of that lamb was put above the door of every home. And then the judgment of God passed over blood. There was blood applied. Jesus died for you. His blood was poured out. He died at the time, the most horrific imaginable death that could ever be done. Separated from his Father at the cross, cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? For you, friend, for you. Will you today, by faith in Jesus, apply that blood? Don't leave here stained. Don't leave here knowing that I'm not right with God. And folks, you can't make yourself right with God. He does it. And we believe it. And the Bible says that we believe, we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. We believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth. You will be saved. So if you're in this place and you say, Pastor, I want to be washed in the blood of Jesus. I want to be a brand new person. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want heaven to be my home. I want to miss an eternity in hell. Maybe you're a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter. You're far from home. You're far from where things are okay with you and God. And you need to come back. You need forgiveness. You need restoration. Oh, there's a Father who loves you. If you're in this place, no one is looking around. I want you right now to lift up your hand real, real high. Just wave it at me. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Who else? Will you be washed? Thank you. The soul cleansing blood. Thank you, sir. The blood of the Lamb. Who else? Who else? Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. For you are good and your mercy endures forever. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet. You lifted up your hand just now and you said, Pastor, that's me. I want to call upon the name of Jesus. I want to be saved. What I'm going to ask you to do is grab your Bible, your belongings. No one should be walking out the back of this church right now. No one should be walking out the back of this church or side. Okay? If you lifted up your hand, I want you to come and meet me up front. I want you to come and meet me up front. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. I know we have social distancing, but if you need to just say, excuse me, you need to be up here. You need to make heaven your home. Too high a price was paid for you to go to hell, for you to live in misery and bondage here and now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just lift up one of your hands right now. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe that you sent Jesus to die in my place. I confess him as Lord and as Savior. I repent of my sin and I follow you now for the rest of my life. You are Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Would you do me a favor? God bless you. Would you just follow Sipo here? We're going to go to a place of prayer. We would like to give you a book, spend a few minutes of your time. If you just follow Sipo there, thank you. Thank you so much. Congregation, you can have a seat. God bless you. Church is a big deal, isn't it? It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And so we want to give you an opportunity as we are dismissed today. We won't be passing any buckets, but we want to give you an opportunity to give and to your tithes and your offerings. As we heard today, we are going to finish strong. We've got stuff for our kids and our youth that are, it's on the way, and there's other stuff that is ready to be ordered as the funds are available for that. So if you need an offering envelope, just ask one of the ushers, and they would be happy to serve you. But I want you to notice a scripture here that is so helpful and wonderful. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul is giving instruction to a pastor about how he should lead people. And in the center of this chapter is about the wonderful glory in the person of Jesus Christ. But then he says some things to be careful about. And in First Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So they're not rebuked. They're told, be careful. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And what that tells me is that there is money and decisions with our money that affect eternity. It affects eternity. And I think this afternoon, if I get a pizza or Nando's, I'm not sure that affects eternity. Okay, it affects my joy and maybe my waistline, okay? But when we choose to put money into God's kingdom and for His work to go forth, wow, there's something that changes. This church, on a regular basis, we support, every single month, we support Scripture Union. Our church has helped write curriculum. We're doing that right now. And so that means young men and women that meet Jesus as they read the Bible, and you helped give the money that made that happen, eternity just changed. And there's something, somehow God keeps a record of that. And so please, as you pay and go to the grocery store, and I realize things are more expensive than ever, let's continue to lay up treasure in heaven. Let's make a difference with our finances for all of eternity. Amen? All right. So we're going to give on our way out. We're going to pray as we go. If you have need of prayer, and maybe as we talked about loved ones that have gone, maybe you're facing some grief or loss or questions. Maybe there's sickness in your body. Maybe there's financial difficulty that you're facing, a big, big decision that you're facing. There are folks up here, boy, they really love you. They know the Bible, they know God, and they want to pray with you, pray for you. And so as we're dismissed, please allow our care team to pray with you, if you will. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you. Heaven is our home. It is our hope. And Father, before we get there, may our life make a big, big difference for what happens in heaven and for people, that people would be rescued from an eternity in hell. Lord, use us. We are your vessels. We are your children. And Father, thank you that you're shaping and molding us to be more and more like Jesus, your Son. And it's His name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you so much. You are dismissed.